Let's talk about co-parenting after betrayal and infidelity. I talk about infidelity being a specific kind of hell that most people don't understand what it's like to go through. This is like the ninth layer of hell. As you go through this, one of the first things that you feel is the crushing weight of judgment. It feels like you are trapped in a lose-lose scenario. You feel judged, first of all, no matter what decision that you make. If you stay, people say that you're weak or enabling the bad and abusive behavior. If you leave, people say that you're unforgiving or breaking up the home. It feels as though every path is wrong and somehow it's your fault, even though you're not the one that went against your vows. And all of this noise, no matter how strong you are, starts to drown out your own intuition and ability to trust yourself, which was already broken down by the fact that the person you thought you could trust and who was trustworthy betrayed you. But these people do not see what it is that you carry. You're carrying the weight of being a parent and a betrayed partner at the same time. You don't have the luxury, space, or time to fall apart. There are lunchboxes to pack, homework to check, nightmares to soothe, all while your own internal world is collapsing. And there's something cruel about having to hand your child over to someone who broke your trust. It goes against every single instinct that you have. You are biologically wired to protect your offspring. Yet the court or the custody schedule demands that you hand them to the very person that caused you this panic and anxiety and depression that you're dealing with. You have to smile, wave, and act normal for the sake of the kids, even when inside you're screaming. One moment, you might be crying on the bathroom floor, and then the next you're putting on a cartoon or a silly voice for your toddler. You're pivoting back and forth between protecting your kid's innocence, or what's left of it, and trying to hold your own shattered pieces together. And everyone will have an opinion about your situation, but almost nobody understands the depth of betrayal that you're experiencing. Yeah, they see the surface, they get breakups are hard, but that's about as deep as their knowledge goes. They don't see the moment that you have to watch your children interact with your ex's affair partner. They don't see the surge of anger, grief, and heartache you have to swallow in that moment because you don't want to make a scene in front of the kids. You have to feel like the bigger person when you just want to be the broken person. And so there's all this fear of, am I messing up my kid's life forever? Even though you didn't cause this, you still feel like you have to be the more responsible one. You look at them and wonder, are they going to be scarred forever from this? There are so many statistics that people cite about divorced families. How true are they? Will they be true of you? And to top it all off, one of the main things that can help you get over an abusive, lying, unfaithful, narcissistic ex is distance. But now you can't have that because you're stuck co-parenting. You can't even block their number because you might have to coordinate picking them up from soccer practice. So you might try bottling it up, and you can't even grieve openly. You just have to be strong. But silencing the grief, bottling it up, tends to only make it heavier. And I want to reiterate that both choices are valid, whether you stay or you choose to go. Staying doesn't mean that you're weak. Sometimes it can be an act of fierce protection, a calculated move for stability, or even a necessary step for your own and your children's financial survival. It takes immense strength, not weakness, to look at a betrayer across the dinner table for the sake of the child having a safe home. On the other hand, leaving isn't just cold or unforgiving. Leaving can be a sign of self-respect and respecting your children's safety and emotional safety. Both choices are valid and equally excruciating. But that kind of nuance doesn't sit well with people that just love to oversimplify. Trite phrases like just move on or just fix it or do it for the kids really don't fit with the complexity of processing trauma while actively parenting at the same time. You can't just move on when the source of your trauma is still actively involved in your life every single day, or at least several times a week. Another phrase that gets thrown out a lot is that kids are resilient. And this is true. However, people often use this as an excuse to ignore the reality that parental emotional wounds shape the home environment. Kids are resilient, but they're also barometers. They feel your stress. And just to clarify what's actually happening in your brain and in your body, this isn't just sadness or missing them or missing how things used to be. Infidelity is putting you into basically a double bind. every option that you have comes with severe emotional and practical consequences. There's no easy door to walk through. Your nervous system stays on high alert. There's no full escape. And this pain is intensified because parenting is already a vulnerable state. Betrayal hits you in the very place where you need the most stability, which is your family. You aren't just grieving the relationship. You're grieving the whole family story and example that you wanted to be for your children. You're grieving the Christmases that you thought you'd have, the graduation photos you thought you could post. And so your brain is exhausted because it's trying to reconcile these conflicting realities, the biological drive to protect your children, and the logistical necessities of interacting with the person who hurt you. And oftentimes the fear of judgment just amplifies the shame, and shame shuts down clarity and clear thinking. Because when you start feeling ashamed of, am I making the right choice? How will family see me? How will friends see me? You start thinking in very foggy ways, and everything just feels harder. And a lot of this just comes down to the loss of control, feeling like you're just swept up in this chaos that you didn't even start. And the truth is that you cannot control the betrayer. You cannot control the courts. You can't even control what happens while they're with them in the other house. It is the combination of a logistical nightmare with complex trauma. It is a rare combination that most people never have to face. Your kids are the priority in this. Your own healing is the priority, and your kids are the priority. Beating your ex, one-upping them in some way, gaining control back over them is secondary, and you know that. Your mental and physical safety, your children's mental and physical safety, that's all that matters. And you don't have to be perfect. There will be some tension with the kids. That can be restored. Attunement can be rebuilt. More practically, besides just focusing on yourself and your kids, create a co-parenting boundary plan. Do not wing these things. Have predefined ideas for communication. Things like, I'm only discussing XYZ today. Have specific rules for handoff. Decide physically where you will stand. If you need routines before handoffs or before phone calls with the co-parent, practice those. Plenty of people splash water on their face or do some type of grounding exercise before the exchange, just knowing that they might have the tension heightened in those moments. So something quick and easy like a mantra or splashing water or box breathing, those things can help calm you down before those interactions. And then try to separate your roles mentally. In your mind, you must mentally cleave your ex into two people. There is the betrayer who you are grieving and angry at, and then there's the co-parent who is a weird business partner that you can't stand but you must manage. Only engage with that annoying co-parent. Don't deal with the ex at all. And they're going to try to test those boundaries. Many of them will. As soon as you see them shift from one role to the other, completely disengage. One thing you can also try is just journaling some of the triggers. So if you notice a specific reference to the affair partner, for example, really spikes your cortisol, feel free to write down what happened, how you felt. Doesn't have to be long and drawn out, but naming it, gaining clarity over what happened, can often minimize it in the future. Practice micro releases. So you can't collapse all day. Like I said, you don't have the space to fall apart, but you can find 2-minute windows to feel the grief, to cry, to shake your body out, and then step back into parenting. And then create a support triangle. You need 3 specific people at least, and there can be multiple within these categories, but you need at least one person for emotional support, just day-to-day venting. It could be as easy as just sending someone a text. That's what I think some of those Facebook groups are good for as well. Just get some of it off your chest, vent the frustration. Number 2 is logistical support. Someone who can pick up the kids if you can't, for example. Going from parenting together to parenting on your own or co-parenting, there's going to be a lot of logistical things that are going to be tough, especially early on. And then 3rd, you want a mental health resource, whether it's a therapist or a hypnotist or a coach, someone that can help walk through and untangle all of these complex thoughts and emotions that are making this all so tough to move forward. And then clarify your win. Set winnable goals. Stop trying to win the argument with your ex and convince them that they're wrong. That's probably going to be tough. Define what healthy parenting and healthy co-parenting look like for you. Is it staying calm? Is it not bad-mouthing them? Whatever it is, that's your win. Regardless of your situation, you are choosing the best path or have chosen the best path that's available, because it's an impossible situation. There is no perfect choice. You're navigating a very tough scenario that has no predefined maps, and you're doing it with love for your children. You don't have to love this situation. You're allowed to be angry that this happened, and you're also allowed to heal whenever you're ready. Your kids don't need you to be perfect, but they do need to know that you're okay. Your mental health, your emotional health is important for them knowing mom's okay, dad's okay, I'm okay. It's okay if they see you cry. They mainly just need you to be present, healing, and human. And it can be a great example of seeing someone emotionally regulate. So many kids don't get to see that. Seeing you handle this difficult obstacle could be the greatest lesson and gift that you give them.